this week, you'll have an impossible mission. Actually, today, you've probably already faced one in your own mind. Whether to be honest with yourself about something that you haven't been fully honest with yourself about. Maybe someone's asked you for something and you're like, oh, how will I fit this into my life? Maybe there's a relationship in your life that feels stuck and you feel wedged between two heavy objects and it's an impossible maneuver to get out of it. But you know what? That's another impossible mission that you can overcome here with me, Mrs. Impossible, aka Cindy. Welcome. That's right. These impossible missions that I'm talking about here in my podcast are the real ones, the life-changing ones, not rappelling down the vault of a high security room like Tom Cruise did in Mission Impossible. This one's far more difficult than that. These kinds of missions I'm talking about involve any and every area of life. So welcome. Today's show segments. We'll start with Fresh Pick Thoughts, then the cleanup, confession booth, that's the new one, then swiping with Cindy, my favorite segment. Maybe I should just do most of the show with that one. I'm going to continue the mission control room because that's really the meat of this show, but I'm changing the format. I'm going to do things in a more fun way than I did the last few times. So here we go. Those are the segments for today's show. I'm going to say this at the end again, but I just want to say, hey, listen, I would like you to know that this is a judgment-free zone in this hour. I am a personal coach. I believe in a place of suspended judgment so that we can feel free to say what we feel, be who we want to be. And in that imaginative space, all of a sudden, solutions to problems start popping up in our minds. You can only find the best solutions once you allow for really creative space. So that's what this hour is for. Let your mind wander as you listen to me. Think about your own life and things that you want to change, because at the end of this, I'd love to know. Love for you to contact me and let me know what mission you are taking on this week in your life. Okay, here we go. So I'll start with fresh picked thoughts. Fresh picked thoughts, here we go. As long as I haven't eaten gluten or dairy, which has totally killed my personality whenever I have it, as long as that's not a factor in the moment, then I actually love talking into the microphone. You become electronic when you speak into a microphone. You like become the machine. By putting yourself on a microphone, that's recording. It's like you're multiplying yourself. You're putting a piece of yourself out there in the world for other people to experience without you even needing to be physically there. I think that's part of the magic of this speaking into the microphone thing. It's magic. Okay. So what thought can I freshly pick from my, oh my gosh, I'm so addicted to these salami bites. And they're gluten-free and dairy-free, but I think they're taking over my life because I can't just have one. I think about them all day long. So, wait, there's a buzz in my microphone that just started. I'm going to have to edit that buzz out. Hold on. All right, I got the buzz to stop. Ooh, that's so much better, so much more peaceful. Some of these things that I'm about to say might belong better to the confession booth. The new segment, Confession Booth. But I'm going to say it here anyway, because Confession Booth is about me forgiving myself for something I did. And this one, really, I'm not sure I'm forgiving myself for this, so I don't know if it belongs in the Confession Booth. I don't even know if I did anything wrong when it comes to this. Oh, it was such a actual relief. But I was banned from Tinder. My account was banned. This happens to huge numbers of people, I found out through Googling. And it's because Tinder has really increased its community guidelines. So if you have X number of guys going to your profile and seeing it and being like, I don't want her on here, they can kick you off of there. And I think that's probably why I got banned, because I think my profile was pretty direct and not offensive, except for one little line that I think was offensive. Okay, it was maybe offensive to some people, so they didn't like it. especially the guys who I've rematched with and forgot that I had matched with them in the past and did not really end too nicely, so they match again with me, maybe boot me at that point. I said something to the effect of, guys who are doing one-night stands, friends with benefits, short-term flings, come on, guys, don't be so, you know, I don't like the word stupid. And I know guys would have gotten offended by that. Other than that, my behavior on the site, I've read through their terms of use. I have not done anything in violation except for that. And it is in their terms of use about insulting other users. Even if you told them they're an angel, they're sent by God. If that person doesn't like that you've said that, they can press the little button on your profile. And if enough people do that for no good reason, then that can happen. And so that's what happened to me. So I was so glad to be off Tinder because I realized once I was off of it that the speed is what I was addicted to. It's like loving speeding on the highway. It's adrenaline pumping. And that's what Tinder does for me. Thank you guys who hated my semi-mean statement that I did put on my profile. The thing was, I was just getting jaded. I just became a little bitter about dating. And that bitterness came through in me writing that. Let people be judge of their own lives. And so here I am, out of that mess. So I started focusing on these other apps. So with Swiping with Cindy today, that segment of this show, I will be swiping on other apps. So out of meeting a large number of men for coffee, tea, a drink over the past few years, I've met a lot of guys, just had a conversation in a pub or in a cafe. And out of all of them, most recently on Tinder, I met someone who hit me hard emotionally. And when I met him, I felt like this could be it. For some reason, it was one of those hugely impacting, very rare moments. And everything seemed great, except that he and I did not have the same communication needs. He would be fine not talking for a whole day or two. And I would be not fine at all about that. And there are both types of people in the world, both types of singles in the world. One who think it's ridiculous to want to hear from their partner or date. And then there are others who think it's ridiculous to not even have 3 seconds just to send a little, hey, hope you're well, talk later. Both sides of the story have justification. And both sides deserve people who share that value. This guy and I did not share that value. He didn't ever see himself being any different, and I didn't ever see myself being any different, and I just foresaw lots of pain and anxiety not hearing from him, and he foresaw lots of pain and anxiety because he is too busy. So we had to move on, and he was from Tinder, and I had a very shattering emotional experience that I hadn't really ever had in my adult life. For about 24 hours, I actually found myself crying, and I normally don't cry that often at all. I'm not one of those girls who easily cries. And I did, and I couldn't stop almost every hour for 24 hours until finally I called my personal coach, and she knew my history of dating and the things that have worked for me in the past. She knew what I was looking for. She reminded me, it's so ridiculous, the very basic things that keep us happy, we forget them. It's like losing your keys. Of course you need your keys to go in and out of your door every day, but we lose them sometimes, and I lost my own standards. I had made a list with her about what I'm looking for. And since I'm so busy with too many projects, I'd buried that list. But in my coaching conversation with her, I was crying, and she reminded me of that list. And I was like, oh, and I spent like 20 minutes with her on the phone trying to find it, and then I found it. And suddenly all the clouds in the skies parted and the sun came through and I felt peace. I almost missed the crying feeling. Once I stopped crying, I was like, wow, I kind of miss crying now. It kind of felt good to feel really deep like that. And then a day or two later, then the Tinder ban happened. So, well, that brings us to the end of Fresh Pick Thoughts. It's cleanup time. This segment, cleanup, it's just about me reflecting on the last few episodes and clarifying anything from that need clarifying. And one thing I wanted to tell you guys is that I did only promise myself 10 episodes of this show. So if you're listening to this show and you want it to continue, let me know, because otherwise I'm stopping at 10. I love doing this. If the love grows, then I may go past 10. If I have enough desire to continue to make the time for this, then I will continue. It comes down to the desire. But otherwise, I will stop at 10. Well, that was a short cleanup. It's time for the confession booth. The confession booth. This is where I confess and then forgive myself. I am the priest and the sinner. Both. And today's confession booth is about ghosting. Ghosting. Do y'all know what ghosting is? Ghosting is an internet dating phenomena, but it also exists in real life too. I know a lot of people think of it as a dating app phenomena, but you can meet someone at a pub or a restaurant or anywhere, or a club. They can give you their number, you can have a date, and then never hear from them again. That's also ghosting. But it happens in such higher quantities and higher frequencies online just because you meet more people online. So I really don't think that it's really any different online versus offline. And actually, the only difference between online dating and offline dating when you meet someone on the street, the only difference in the entire experience is the quantity and frequency of the things you experience. That's really what I've found to be the only difference. But none of that is the confession. The confession here is that I have ghosted. I have ghosted people. I've been ghosted. And therefore, I ghosted. And I forgive myself for it, because it has taken a long time for me to understand ghosting, why people ghost, and why I have been ghosted. Why does it take so long for the two to come together, where I was ghosted, and then I ghost someone, and then someone else ghosts me, and then why is it so hard after all of that for me to accept that someone's ghosted me? I'm starting to accept it much more now when someone does it to me, because I understand the reasons. The number one reason that I think it happens is because people don't take these dates seriously. There, a lot of them are not looking for something long term. A lot of them are not thinking, oh, who can I meet that would be high quality, that we could do life together and travel together and think ahead together and make goals in life together. No, they think, who would be sexy to kiss tonight? Who would look great walking next to me on the street? And so you get different outcomes when you have those different goals while you're dating someone. And I think a lot of the people who I've dated in the past during my learning experience, I haven't really asked them the questions or really dug in too deep before I meet them about what they're really looking for. But I started doing that. I've done internet dating quite seriously for the last 2 years, roughly. 2 years minus about 10 months of actually being someone's girlfriend. I was off the dating apps during that 10 months. So maybe, you know, so when I say 2 years, I just mean on and off when I wasn't in a relationship, in an exclusive dating relationship. But in that time, it took me a while to learn that if you don't want to be ghosted, before you meet them, have a conversation to figure out if they're the type who will ghost you. And as obvious as that sounds, I just didn't do that because I didn't understand what the rules are in these dating app experiences. And so I take the responsibility. I take 100% responsibility for being ghosted if I'm talking to someone who I didn't even have enough conversation with to see their character patterns and see if they are the type who would. And since I've started doing that, let me back up. When I do that, then I get a much better outcome. And the men who I've done that with have started showing me and been examples to me of how to express or how to say you're not interested in a nice way. So I remember just a couple key guys that I met who I felt great about. It wasn't like the hardcore head over heels feeling, but just a really intense interest. And one or two of them, and there aren't many of them, but the one or two, I remember how respectfully they wrote me back without ghosting. The one in particular that comes to mind, we just have very different personalities. And I was very attracted to him. And I think that overtook my judgment. Rather than looking at our personality compatibility, I was just on fire. Like, wow, this guy's gorgeous. And like the way he moves. And he had a daughter. So he's a bit more forward future thinking. And he said, I don't think our personalities are going to, you know, get along. And one of the, well, key things might have been our disagreement about female friends and how much you spend time with them or how close they are in your life. He might have actually had some things going on behind the scenes that he knew I wouldn't be cool with after asking me some questions and getting to know me. So that's probably what he meant. There might have been some shady things going on behind the scenes that he knew I wouldn't be cool with. He doesn't think that our personalities long-term, he said. Long-term, he doesn't think our personalities would really match. And it's guys like that who I chatted with before I met him and really got an idea of whether they could be the ghosting type. And luckily, I was rewarded with a really respectful ending. But I have ghosted in the past, and now I've come to the point where, with the inspiration of the guys like the one I just mentioned, now I know the language to say, and I've been so disappointed so many times just for 100 other reasons in this dating experience that I don't want anyone to feel bad. So I'm going to tell them, and this is what I end up saying, is that I don't feel strong enough to continue to get to know you. I might say that we have some compatibility in some areas, but it's just not strong enough for another date or to invest the time. So I use language like that because it's true. And I found that to be much more fulfilling than ghosting. Sometimes the guys will want to argue with me why we aren't compatible. And then I have to, of course, you know, occasionally block them because they don't accept that after a kind and respectful no thank you. But now I've forgiven myself for ghosting because I understand. And now I do the work of saying, I'm sorry, I just don't feel that, you know, our compatibility is strong enough, or that I just don't feel strong enough. Like, I just say that. All different ways that I can say it now without ghosting. So that's my confession. And I don't see myself ghosting anyone unless there's some clear need to just cut myself off from that person immediately. And this I'm talking about after I meet them. Very different if you just chat with someone, just plain text, and they don't want to move to video chat to make it more human, more real. They just want to like text chat. Then yes, I will just cut off connection because they're not wanting to be vulnerable and real and genuine. They're hiding something to me, or they're scared of technology. And both of those things would not work with me. If all they want to do is text, then yes, I will ghost, I guess. I don't even know if you would call it that, but you unmatch and just end the conversation suddenly. So I will still do that. And I think everyone has to do that to manage their inboxes in these dating apps. So that is my confession. How do you end a confession? And now it's time for Swiping with Cindy. But now, as you know from the Fresh Pick Thoughts segment, that I'm not swiping in Tinder. I am going to be swiping in another app, Hinge. What I like about Hinge is that, at least as opposed to Tinder, there's more information on their profiles. Okay, so here we go. First one, Sam, I've already video chatted with this guy before, I think, and I did not have any feeling of excitement when we video chatted. So I moved on. So here I'm going to swipe left. Actually, I'm not even swiping left here. I'm pressing the little X button. And instead of swiping right, you press a little heart. All right, Todd. His first photo is him playing an electric guitar. And then he has a little angry emoji face over the crotch of his pants in his little video of him playing guitar. You know, in Hinge, you can have video, a recorded video playing of yourself. I don't feel sexually or romantically attracted to musicians typically. I would say 9.5 out of 10 times. So I will scroll down the page, but I don't have high hopes for this one. Oh, he looks nice, but I think his body type, as you know from prior episodes, I look for someone who clearly looks like they're into health and fitness, because that's a huge value for me, huge important lifestyle for me. And I know that if I care for someone, I will want to do what they do, and it will affect my mental and emotional health and confidence. If they're not working out regularly, I will want to not work out regularly with them, and it will bring me down. So I need someone who clearly is into that lifestyle. I don't want to enter into a relationship and think that I have to change anything about the person. This guy does not appear to make health and fitness his priority. There's no mention on his profile and no photos of being at the gym. Although, you know what, guys? I'm just coming to the end of his profile and he has pictures of really healthy food. He has pictures of healthy food. I'm going to like him, so it's like an equivalent swipe right. I press a little heart just to find out what his health and fitness lifestyle is like. Okay, next one. Jeremy. Right away, Jeremy. Whoa, his legs look really thin. Oh, he looks very thin overall, like thin framed, thin skeletal frame. And he might be a great friend, but sexual attraction is not happening here. So I am swiping left, aka pressing the little X button. This guy, Wesley, I've seen this guy several times and he has this kind of awkward smile in his main profile photo. And I may have chatted with him before and then it just faded out. I think that's what happened with him. I probably said, would you like a video chat? And then he disappeared. That's probably what happened. I don't know. But he has a cute dog. You know what? I'm not going to waste your time, Wesley. I'm Xing this, aka swiping left. Adam. Adam looks like he has a bit of weight on. Ooh. And then in another picture, he doesn't. You gotta wonder which picture is which. Usually the one with more weight on is the more recent one. Why are you showing me a picture of the back of your four-wheel drive? Oh, no. And there's another picture very clear of his face, whereas the others were kind of far away. And his face type is not attractive to me. He looks jolly and happy, like a good guy, but the sexual attraction is not there when it comes to facial features. Sorry, Adam. Bye. Matthew. Oh, can I just go left immediately? I'm not attracted to his facial features at all. Again, these guys might be great, but he has that small frame look, narrow shoulders. I like a distinct jawline, kind of like that square jawline. And I know what I like when it comes to physical attraction. I wish I could show you guys the pictures of my last couple boyfriends, their body shots, not naked, but just like their fitness shots. And you would understand my standards if I could show them to you. Yeah, this guy. Okay, I'm just going left. Left, Matthew. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Oh boy, guys. CK. Now this is exactly what I like to look at. Oh no. Is he from America? No. Oh, hopefully he's not from America. I only say that because he went to the University of Arizona. I'm just hoping that meant that he's Aussie and just went there for an education then came back here. I'd rather not date an American. I'm from America and I love Aussies. And if I fall in love with an American, I will utterly surprise myself, and it is possible because nothing is impossible. But I don't see it happening. This guy, CK, gorgeous, beautiful proportion, facial features, very masculine, chiseled jawline. He's got like that short beard, broad shoulders. He, oh, in the picture, sometimes they don't show their teeth. This guy's showing his teeth. They're gorgeous. These are the stages of attraction. Maybe that's the formal phrasing I should use with this. One, when it comes to meeting someone on the street or in a bar or on a club or in a church or in a grocery store or on an app, is the physical attraction. And it can completely go down the tubes. That feeling of attraction can completely disappear after you communicate with that person and start learning about them. But that initial physical attraction is essential and foundational, and that has to be there before the rest happens for me. Because I've already tried to wait for that to happen with someone who's just nice. You know, I thought, oh, nice personality, let's just wait for the sexual attraction to happen. And it never did. I don't want to waste anyone's time again like that. So now that this guy passes the looks department, I'm reading his personality. And I will get more of that if he matches with me. I wonder if he will. I don't know. I might not show up in his deck. You know how these apps kind of have algorithms of who they decide who they show your profile to. He said, we'll get along if you like kids, because he has three. Oh, so he has three kids. Well, I'm not surprised with how gorgeous he is. I'm surprised that he doesn't have 10 or 12. He must have separated from their mom. Okay, I'm going. He definitely deserves a right swipe. Okay. He was right swiped. Matthew, next guy. I don't like this face shape. I'm sexually attracted to, like I said, kind of like a more square jawline, like this guy CK that I just saw had. And this guy has more of like an oval face, like an undistinct or indistinct jawline. But he has a nice beard and some nice features. Sometimes a personality of someone can overtake some of the things you don't like physically, but unfortunately on these dating apps, you can't assume that with everyone, or you'll just end up meeting everyone and not having any time for the people that you know you're sexually attracted to. You'd fill up all your time with the, what if? Okay, physical attraction is the first stage of attraction for me, so I am swiping left on Matthew. He also looks kind of thin, and that doesn't do it for me. So yes, again, Matthew, left. Lyle. Lyle's first picture is a group photo. They all look kind of country and not really my style, all holding beers. All of them have beards. And they look friendly and nice, like buddies, mates. But as I scroll down, okay, so that's the one. Definitely not fit. And yeah, I don't get the feeling that this is my kind of lifestyle, so ciao. Adam. Adam's next. Adam looks a little, you know, my dad, I think I've said this before to you guys in previous episodes, but my dad looks really young. And for some reason here in Australia, with the sun being so harsh, people look much older than they really are. So this guy is a perfect example, Adam. I don't know how old he really is. His skin looks dry and red, kind of rough. And so when it comes to a dating app and that first stage of attraction, I really don't want to waste his time. So I'm sorry, Adam, to the left. Walter's next. He has a nose ring. I do not like nose rings. In friends, yes. Walter, you can be my mate. But when it comes to sexual attraction, no, no. And then he has this kind of artsy fancy jacket on that has the semi-floral pattern. It just doesn't work for me. And then the next picture he has, he's sipping a cup of water and he has this horrid face, like opening his mouth, but making this strange, like roaring face as he's lifting the cup to his mouth. And he's a PhD candidate? How is this? Well, that might be the case. Who knows? He has major tattoos everywhere as well. Very creative type. I don't feel attraction towards the creative type in general. Because I'm so creative, I need someone to hold me down and zero me in. So, Walter, to the left. Archie, not a fan of his structure. Yeah, it's that face structure, not a fan. And I think I've chatted with this guy before. Not sexually attracted to it, left. Daniel, he's completely shaved head, but a little tiny hair mohawk in the middle and very strange photos where he's making strange faces and you can't even see his full body. I don't know what to... Oh, here we go. Okay, he seems like a creative type. Again, not sexually attracted to that. Left. Next one, Nick. Nick has a nice square jawline. His hair starts pretty far back on his forehead. But if he shaved it, that could work. He has great teeth. He has a great smile. He He says, I want someone who can make me laugh, hold my hand, and give me a kiss and cuddle. Definitely love snuggling up in bed or on the couch. Okay, so far, his picture was very nice, and what he's written is beautiful. Oh, and his beard picture looks great. But I can't tell from his photos if he keeps fit. So what I'll do is, you know, he's covered up in like a suit in one of them, and I can't really tell. So I will ask him. I'll be like, hey, do you have, if we match, I'll be like, hey, do you have a, any kind of a fitness, health and fitness lifestyle going on? All right, I just liked him. I think that brings me to the end of swiping with Cindy. Now it's time for the mission control room.
Attention, by entering the mission control room, you accept 100% ownership of your happiness, your decisions, and actions. Responsibility falls on you, and you only enter at your own risk.
You know, I call this podcast Mrs. Impossible, but really, the real impossible missions of everyday life are the ones that we face every day, not the ones from the Mission Impossible movies where every day there's some great action-packed feed of, you know, escaping the enemy and trying to defuse the bomb so that the world doesn't explode. So we hang from the underside of a helicopter with one hand and the other hand wrestling with, you know, so that's not the everyday mission. What's even often more difficult than that, or equally difficult, is the simple act of getting something done that you've been putting off for years. Years. But whatever it is, there are things that we put off that alter our destiny, that change everything for us and increase the quality of this one life that we know of. One life. We have one chance. As far as we know, we might hope for more. But what we know we have is this one day, this one moment, this now. And so, my mission this week, I will be rolling this dice that I have in my hand. It's one dice with 12 sides. And each of those 12 sides represent one of the 12 mission control panels of our happiness. These mission control panels include, I will read them to you from my notes. Number one, human relationships. Actually, a study did show that the quality of our human relationships correlate with our longevity and health. This was a significant study that was done. Human relationships actually do impact our health, our happiness, and our lifespan. They impact our lifespan. Yeah, and that makes sense, of course, because we also know that other surveys and studies show that the number one reason people quit their jobs is because of their manager, not because of the job itself. Human relationships matter, but that's number one. And human relationships is the control panel. When what we can control and the decisions that we make in those relationships, that's our control panel. What we choose to, how much time we choose to spend with them, where we choose to spend that time. Those human relationship categories include friendships, acquaintanceships, biological and adopted family relationships. You know, those people who've become like family because you grew up with them or you met them not long ago, but they feel like family and they maybe take care of you better than your own family. So that's why I make the distinction between biological and adopted, because it doesn't even technically legally mean adopted, but you adopted them or they adopted you just emotionally. Then there's romantic, dating, or sexual relationships. Professional and business relationships is another kind of human relationship. Then there's the group relationships, the local community groups, neighbors, organizations, and political or national relationships. Number two in the control panel of our happiness is physical health, and that includes medical health, nutrition, the food we eat, and physical fitness. Number three, financial health. And you know what that includes. Everything under financial health. Savings, money management, spending, planning, income. Number four, physical rest, low energy downtime and relaxation. Number 5, play, uplifting excitement and having fun. Number 4 and 5 are two different things. You know, they put those two together and think, well, I work all the time and now I just need some play and having fun. But no, you also need your rest and downtime, your nothing time, so that your body can physically recover. Because it is a machine and it can get overused and worked too hard. Okay, number 6, emotions and thought life. How are you managing your thought life? What thoughts do you let swim in your mind? What thoughts do you challenge that come in your mind? Which thoughts do you challenge the validity of? Number 7, career and business. And that's whatever you do to trade your time for money, or what you do to sell and make money. Maybe you sell a product or a service. So that's career and business. Number 8, learning, novelty, and discovery. That includes anything, trying something new, learning something new, whether it's reading a new book or it's trying something new that you haven't tried before at the supermarket, a new restaurant. So learning, novelty, and discovery. It might be traveling or meeting someone new or trying a new community group just to stir things up in yourself and see what new things you might discover about yourself. It could also mean trying new apps or new technology. Number 9, time management, scheduling, and calendar, or calendaring. How aware are you of what you prioritize and put onto your calendar? Number 10, self-esteem. This refers to how you view yourself. And the other side of that coin is the number 11, which is the spiritual, religious, or philosophical life, aka worldview, how you view the world. Two different things, often related, and yet two different things. Number 12, environments. The physical, sensory environments at home, inside and out, such as lighting, furniture, space, noise, proximity to other people and things, weather, local culture, national environment, culture, and the same at work. So you can have the physical, sensory environment at home and the physical, sensory environment at work. I remember working in New York City in Manhattan in a building in the Radio City Music Hall buildings. And I had my own office and a great amount of sunlight came through the window. And then we all moved to a different floor plan and I lost the office and I ended up being in a cubicle out in the middle of a poorly lit floor, office floor. And so I had to bring onto my desk a certain kind of lamp to make my day happier because it felt incredibly depressing with the lighting that I was working under. And just that one change, that one light that I bought, helped a significant amount. So environments matter. They can cause stress. They can reduce our feeling of life, our ability to work to our best ability, our quality of work, our quality of life, our quality of emotion and thinking. The way our machine, the machine of our body and brain functions, environment matters. So those are the 12. I've numbered them for you. I have in my hand the dice, and I'm about to roll it. I promise you that this is the number. The number, I'm shaking my hand right now. I'm shaking the dice in my hand. Whatever number rolls, rolls out from my hand, that's the number of the area of the mission control panels that I'm going to adjust this week. And I'm going to ask that you do the same. Okay? Ready? Here it goes. 12! It hit 12. Environments. All right, guys. What will you be changing this week that you've been putting off? What will you change this week to improve your life? Maybe it's a mission that you've been wanting to make, to perform, but it's been impossible. You haven't fit it in yet. What is it going to be? I love my environment at home. I really love my environment. I have a huge entire wall that is a window and it lets in the sun. And I, you know, it might happen, who knows, but as far as I can see, I can't see myself picking a place that isn't sunny and well lit anymore. I am so addicted to the beauty, the health that it brings to have daylight come in through an entire wall of windows in one's home. And my little balcony, I love having a balcony. These are the things I love about my environment. One of the impossible missions has been in my mind for a long time. I have had a cleaner because my skin's very sensitive and the chemicals, I have multiple chemical sensitivities. In the past few years, I haven't committed a regular schedule of a cleaner, but I know that every time they come, my life improves. I feel like everything falls in place. My life is in order when I have a cleaner come clean my apartment. Yesterday, I walked to the supermarket and the guy who had been cleaning my flat, he's from Colombia, he happened to be in the supermarket at the same time as me. But it's so ironic because he also then text messaged me while I'm recording this show. He text messaged me before I even rolled the dice. He text messaged me and said, "Hey, I'm available Monday." So that's ironic. So I think one of the possible environment missions this week would be to actually commit to a cleaner for X number of months on such and such dates at such and such times and commit that so that I know it's happening and I can feel that great feeling of having my life in order every time. Another thing is I have a couple of computers, different computer devices, and there are wires everywhere. If I could just find a solution to not have so many wires, oh my goodness, please. That's an environmental nuisance, a visual one. So I think that's it. That's the mission for me this week, I think, would be to get the cleaning schedule in place so that I could feel like, so that my life feels prioritized. So what mission in regard to your environment will you complete this week? What will improve your sense of health and happiness and satisfaction? Getting the cleaner will definitely do it for me. But I just never had the mental space or capacity to actually have that conversation and agree to something on the calendar, which takes a lot. You have to commit. Committing is the hard part of this, right? Because it means you can't do anything on that time unless you plan it through. So it's a mission. What about you? If you got anything out of this podcast and you want to listen again next week, look for the subscribe button on this podcast platform that you're listening to me on. And if you want to contact me, I'd love to hear from you. I want to know what your mission is, what your questions are, and your comments. Send me a message at mrsimpossible.com. You can go to that page and find any number of ways to contact me. So while I'm talking to you, across the way, there's an apartment. There are several apartments across the way, but one of them has an air mattress sofa, and it is bouncing as I'm talking to you. And I don't see enough of the apartment to know why it's bouncing, but it is bouncing. It's like one of those air mattresses, but a sofa. And when I look up from where I naturally lift my head, it's just directly in the line of vision. So I can't not see it from how I'm sitting at the moment and the daylight that's shining in through everyone's windows. Whew, boy. All right. Well, I hope I don't see any more, to tell you the truth. I don't want to see any more. I don't want to know why. I don't want to know why. So until next time.
It is now time to execute your mission. I do not wish you luck. I wish you unstoppable